Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a crossover podcast between Pop Culture Ninja and These Go to 11. Of course, my two wonderful hosts here joining me, Nathan Bartleball. Nathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. This crossover thing is starting to become a regular event.
I love it, man. It's great.
And of course, are we going to merge the universes?
That's right.
That's right. Flashpoint. These Go to 11.
We're getting there. Yes. We've teased that. So probably around February is when the official merge will happen.
Nice.
The Dutcher initiative.
Yeah. Dude, I was going to say, man, if I could go back in time and save some horrible family disaster from occurring, as Barry Allen has done on The Flash, who knows what these podcasts could become.
Ooh.
We could get the new scoreboard. We could get Pop Culture Ninja. Who knows, man? We might even get like
the new Pop Culture Goes to 11.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it reminds me of the great Conan O'Brien line. Remember when – I think he still does them in the year 2000 – where the background gets really creepy. He was doing this like since 1994, and he just kept doing it after 2000 came and went. But yeah, the background gets kind of spooky, and he's like, in the year 2000. And the one thing he says, I remember, he goes, in the year 2000, he says, the social media giants of YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook will merge into one massive time-wasting website called You Twit Face. So I could see something like that happening with us, man.
That's right.
It would be awesome.
We're working toward that goal.
Yeah. I think I just got called You Twit Face by somebody. Oh, that was my wife. I was trying to think who it was that called me that. It was Lisa. So. Okay.
That's hysterical.
Was it the Belle Doucheball website?
Yeah. Emphasis on the middle term there, dude.
Or Bell at the douche ball. Yeah.
Oh, man, that is good.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can tell it's Halloween time, man.
That's right. Oh, man, it's so crazy excited coming about this. Nathan, you and I were talking about wanting to do a Halloween special podcast.
And then I rebuked you.
Yeah. Wait, so you wanted to acknowledge the devil's birthday?
Amen, brother.
Okay, good. Gotcha.
Just clarifying, right?
Yes.
And Nathan, you and I were talking and just kind of decided, you know, Greg, Matt Smith, and I did one on These Go to 11. But, you know, you had an interesting comment. You thought we were a little too tame and safe because we were trying to spare some people's feelings.
Did I say those words?
No, I'm paraphrasing.
I never made such comments. I don't make such comments.
I don't think he said tame.
You know who does make such comments? The other guy.
I don't think he said tame, dude. I think he said lame.
Oh, that could have been.
It may have been lame.
I may have been half asleep when he was talking. but we were talking. One of the things that you said was you really wanted to do a podcast where we just talk about how can we just all out embrace and celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, man.
Because we were trying to be a little more conscientious that there are people out there who in the These Go to 11 sphere who may not celebrate Halloween and may want nothing to do with it, and that's fine. But, dude, we're all about Halloween.
Love it, man.
And so we want to talk about how can we fully embrace this holiday and just utilize it and benefit from it to its fullest. I mean, you know, we have Thanksgiving, we stuff ourselves till we're sick, and then we go throw up, and then we stuff ourselves again. you know, we have Christmas, which basically takes up a whole month.
Roman Thanksgiving, it sounds like.
Yeah, right. that's sort of
another.
Yeah, I need to clear
the
more
purge
room.
Thanksgiving Day.
Purge. That's good.
Way to work in that reference. So,
studio just heard that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, that's better than their last two plots. So they might as well.
Election Day. Although, you know, we could be the closest to a purge this election day.
Oh, dude. Oh,
if
man.
I'm in office, there will be a purge.
be hearing something like that soon enough.
I'm getting so many emails.
Yeah. So the question is, guys, let's just start this off. What do you guys typically enjoy doing during Halloween? Nathan, let's start with you. What is it? What is something that you typically like doing? What does your Halloween weekend or night look like having two younger children? Go.
I'm trying to find the largest adult ram I can, and then a big pyre. Let me back up. Let me address something you said first about calling you guys lame and or tame, and the comment about embracing Halloween to the fullest. Now, my actual feelings on this, and I don't know if you're too drunk to understand or not, but
could have been.
I thought that the way you covered it was actually really good. I remember my wife and I listening to the episode, and to be honest, when I growing up, Halloween was never really something that was differentiated against or that I was ever made to feel there's something kind of weird or off here, which I think was legitimate, but I also understand other perspectives. But it was just never something we knew. We weren't worshiping dark spirits or we weren't embracing dark spirits. We just had fun with it. Now, I will say, this is coming from the grandson of a very convicted and a very strong Baptist pastor. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, a guy who I really respect a lot. And I think as I go through life a lot of times, I mean, I always defer to, you know, both scripture and to the Lord. But when I think about people that I really inspire me in terms of their walk, my grandfather comes to mind. But mm-hmm. he was a guy who enjoyed telling ghost stories. I mean, it wasn't just candy and having fun with Halloween. I mean, he wasn't like a huge Halloween guy, but he enjoyed the kind of creepy ambiance that comes with Halloween, mm-hmm. you know. So it wasn't just that we went out and we just enjoyed candy. We liked the whole spookiness that came with it, the changing of the leaves and the kind of feelings that, you know, there's almost a kind of melancholy sort of but fun feel mm-hmm. to Halloween. I think Ray Bradbury, when he wrote the Something Wicked This Way Comes, says, you know, October, a special time for boys, you know, there's a kind of restlessness and whatnot to it. And that was always fun for us. We enjoyed Halloween. But for us, Halloween was like we didn't really go out into the neighborhood as much as younger kids. We really, it was a time to visit family. We would go visit family members and they would be our kind of trick or treat. I mean, till we got a little bit older and we're in a neighborhood, because where we lived in Harford County, we were more like the and Greg, you might be aware of this. We're up in more of the like Darlington area, more up like Deer Creek. And so our nearest neighbors, it'd been a bit of a hike to walk to each one.
Sure.
So we would go to our immediate neighbors and then we would basically drive around to aunts and uncles and things like that and kind of do our trick. So to us, it was always kind of a family event, still the same. It was a time when you visited family members and you got candy from them instead of presents. But it was still – the spookiness was fun, but we never tied it to some sort of spiritual darkness. And I think that was the difference, that growing up, it just never dawned on me that this was not – that there was an element of Halloween that wasn't not giving God the glory, or there was an element where we were ceding some sort of victory to dark forces or something like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And in that, I don't feel like I was ever ignorantly – I don't know, however you want to put it, you know, involving in something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actually a little bit more surprised. It really wasn't until I got to college that I started to be around people that were really sort of sensitive or almost not ambivalent, but kind of like worried about it or mm-hmm. kind of freaked out a little bit about it. And it kind of took me aback because I just never considered it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how did you engage with that environment when you first got in there, Nathan?
The same way I do, you know, whenever you meet someone who has something that's just a little bit different than you, I just immediately tell them they're wrong. And
happens to me every week on this podcast.
Wait a minute. Hold on one second, Nathan. Are you sure you're not running for president on the Republican ticket? I'm sorry. Go on. I got a little distracted there.
Pastor at the church I've been visiting recently has been, you know, it seems to be one of his favorite things, too. Hey,
I know about that guy, dude. Watch out.
No, so to be honest, it was something that I probably went now as I'm looking at it, I probably went a little bit the other way where I just sort of was – didn't say much about it and said, okay, you know, I understand that. And probably in some ways not agreed, but probably in a sense be silent, be like, that's fine, you know. Not like, at Halloween, I have no idea, as I'm like tearing the eye patch off. And, you know, I don't know how these got here. Two guys mug me and then dress me in this costume. But being something I didn't fully understand at the time, I just sort of thought, you know what, that's fine. I'm not really going to engage it. I'm not going to, which is why I appreciate your podcast. It was sort of stepping into arena where there's a potential to hurt other believers, other brothers and sisters, their feelings when that's not what you mean to do.
Sure.
And I don't think that that happened on your podcast, but I think anytime you get into something like that, particularly when someone feels very convicted, yep. I think the danger is when people feel, and you've said this many times, Greg, when people feel convicted to the point where their preferences and the things they grew up with become your mandate for somebody else.
Sure.
And in my desire to want to be, have a freedom with it, I can be playing the same card as someone who says, you should not celebrate Halloween. Be like, get out there, put your costume on. You should take that candy.
Yeah. Well said.
So
well said.
A lot of it was initially just feeling out the people I could have conversations with and the mm-hmm. people I couldn't, and then kind of engaging, you know, where we could. And I think, you know, you kind of figured out those people that were willing to hear a little bit more about it. These days, I do feel that when I encounter it, I have a tendency to talk about it because my concern is more that if we get too caught up in things that aren't that important or aren't real. This is my own personal opinion. Like when we start to see darkness, there's enough darkness in the world anyway. And certainly I'm not downplaying scripture's perspective on things, but I find that sometimes, and I found this a lot in college, that I feel like our view of spiritual warfare has been more influenced, speaking as a film critic, has been more influenced by what the movies have shown us, mm-hmm. what media culture has shown us, what William Peter Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist, has sent to us, what you know, all the way back, Universal Horror. I mean, I was such – growing up as a kid, I loved those things to a degree, but not because I thought they were true and not because I sympathized with, you know, evil.
Yeah.
But rather when my perspective was all these things you talk about are not things I ever encountered in scripture. I saw what was presented in scripture as a more serious, more realistic thing. And then I found it odd and almost a little strange when people were taking what I always viewed to be fiction, things that I knew had been created by people, and sort of laying that same realistic fear or that realistic reverence that's usually reserved for God mm-hmm. on things that to me were make-believe and fun. And yes. I still have issues with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well said, Nathan. Yeah, yeah, I would say interesting because, Nathan, you were obviously brought up in a unapologetically believing context and your grandfather's legacy and all that. For me, I truly, because I didn't come to faith until I was 16, mm-hmm. I don't even know. It's hard to go back and extract what were in my mental files when I was 10 or right. 8 or even 13, I don't think I was even aware it was remotely controversial.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either, no.
Yes, yeah, which that's kind of interesting in light of both of our kind of different contexts. But I share all those same feelings that you did, Nathan. I loved it. In fact, Nathan Bell and I, mm-hmm. we still – I can't believe I can't even say Nathan B. with you guys, man. Bell and I tonight had a little Mexican dinner. So our wives have asked us not to come home for about 10 hours. and we just when we walked outside, remember, dude, you were like, man. This
is like the devil's in the room right now.
Yeah. I'd give it another 20 minutes. And
something wicked this way comes.
No, we keep it more spiritual, Nathan. We to us, it's more like Acts 2, like a mighty rush of wind.
This but, present darkness.
Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking that Christopher Guest movie, Mighty Wind, right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Classic. But we were outside, and just, you're right, and that something wicked this way comes, that feel of the fall. There is an adventure kind of nostalgia that comes with it. And I love that point, this restlessness of boys when I smell like, you know, the I think of those autumn wood burning, you know, and you get that kind of chill in the air. There's just so much associated with Halloween. And dude, I loved being scared. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I would have articulated it like that. I would just say, oh man, that movie's scary, or this thing is really scary. But obviously I was so jazzed by it. I loved it. And all of my memories to this day, even having been a believer now for 30 years, are positive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in the early 80s, you guys are younger than I am. You might not fully remember this, but there was a scare because there were all sorts of urban legends about razor blades apples and candy.
Oh, that's still going around, man.
Which, thickness,
you know, yes. So my mother did always go through the goodies and was always looked at everything. And she, I remember her one year, probably in like 81, 82, when that was a big rage, cutting the apple and stuff, which for me didn't matter because I never ate the apples. Yeah, I mean, the apples and the raisins and stuff, yeah, that's nice. They'd either get tossed or my mother would take them because I was after the Butterfingers and the Reese's. But yeah, nothing.
They don't put razor blades in this.
Yes, that's right.
Got its own killer ingredient.
It cuts a different way. But it was just nothing but positive. And I'll play the role of host. What about you, Mr. Bell?
Yeah, I grew up doing I don't know how many different things, but never a negative connotation to Halloween with it until I was older. Probably.
Like, I always just freely toilet papered those houses.
Absolutely. I take the freedom that Christ has given me.
That's right.
And it's always easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
in that second Spartacus.
After you TP the pastor's house.
That's right. Yeah. No, but, you know, I can remember my mom making costumes for us. And when we moved, we lived in the city until I was about 8. And then we moved from the city into the country. And it was very country. I mean, dirt road. And, you know, there were 20 houses on our 3-mile road. So, you know, very, you know, small house. And so, but we still continued the tradition of, you know, we would watch movies and we'd have candy and all that stuff. And then as I moved into middle school, high school, we went out with friends and we would go out trick or treating with friends. I remember several times going to churches for their harvest festival.
Yeah, of course.
Hallelujah which, night.
Yes.
No, it's don't go to Halloween parties.
That's right.
I remember. Yes.
Either way, dude, you know what was great about those is you got just as much candy. Yeah. You didn't have to do as much walking.
Hey.
So,
the old trunk or you know treat what? Principle.
That's right.
They do them right now. I mean, there's a couple trunk or treats around here that are pretty darn good.
Yes. I would say we've hit them. I mock them privately, but I enjoy them for personal gain.
That's right.
I overstated that. All due respect to all the churches out there doing trunk or treats.
You know, I say that there's an involvement in the community there, which I think is a big element of Halloween.
Yep.
So
yeah.
I appreciate
that. I do too. I do too. I think it's just a natural outreach. And plus, in this day and age where there are safety concerns, I think a lot of parents might be the most unchurched people in the world, generally have a sense that this is probably safer.
Oh, yeah.
To go to this big parking lot, and they've got everything decked out, and they've made it fun.
And we've seen a couple of them. We took one over here at White Marsh Baptist. We took the kids to it. They had the trunk. The trunks were decorated with some creepy stuff. There were a couple people, I'm not kidding, dressed like characters and things like that. You know, not biblical characters, but like, you know, creepy Halloween characters. And they had put cotton candy machines and hot dogs and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, anytime there's junk food, I'm in. So, you know.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here.
But, yeah, I think that I agree. There's the sentiment of, like, we have this separate thing that's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But it is a move towards being a part of the community, which these days with me and my kids, I think Halloween has morphed more into that. That, honestly, if there's a night during the year – where I have more access to my neighbors, more ability to speak to them, and more interaction with them. It isn't really Halloween, is it? I'd say even more so than Christmas.
Yeah.
Dude, I so agree. The only other thing that comes close, which is you can't schedule or predict, is the big snowfall. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I thought you were going to say the purge.
I've met
some out under the deck together. It's a good time.
I've met some of the greatest people huddling in a dumpster. You know, it's been good. But the I mean, if there's like when we had the blizzard in our area last winter. You know, I mean, you're just out there for a couple of days, you know, because you're pacing yourself, digging out one car, digging out the sidewalk.
Yeah,
and it's neat because it's like, wow, we're all so insulated. Now where we tend to go home and other than maybe a quick nod to the neighbor, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? You really get to talk, find out where they work, you know, just learn a little bit about their kids and their family. And Halloween, dude, I mean, our neighborhood goes all out and we love it. Mm-hmm. The one neighbor in the cul-de-sac, the kids know we got to go to the cul-de-sac. Because number one, they give out, and I kid you not, full-size candy bars.
Oh, yeah.
So they must be dropping a pretty sizable chunk of dough.
They must be believers.
I mean, yeah. Because they're lavish grace brothers. So, you know, they're giving out full-size candy bars, and their yard looks like something you'd pay admission to go into.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a ghost train, you know, where they've got these cool lighting special effects, and the music is great, and, you know, it's like they've got a like our own Josh Mitchell, you know, that's out there building this elaborate sound system, and it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. And I think we said this on the last podcast. I'll throw this out to you guys and for our audience as well, because I am thinking of anybody listening in like, man, these guys, do they have any concerns? My quick thought on that is I tend to think – you could say this about Christmas too. There's two Halloweens. Mm-hmm. There is, okay, in some cultic realm, some – very unsavory characters that may be going out into the woods, getting a Bruce Campbell like cabin and slaughtering a pig and carving a pentagram. I'm not denying when people give reports of cultic, you know, or I'm sorry, the occult as still being a real and present threat, that happens. I'm sure it does.
Right.
So there's kind of that your high holy Halloween day, whatever people would call it. And then there's, I think, what we're all talking about, which is 99%. I call it American dress-up candy day.
Yeah.
And I don't connect the two.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, because let's be real. The people who are, you know, using – I mean, well, first of all, let's be real. Christmas time was initially a cultic day that the Christians took over.
No doubt about it.
And, you know, just decided, hey, we're going to declare this as Baby Jesus Day.
Right.
You know, just to kind of overshadow that. But let's be real. Those cultists are going to be doing that stuff probably once a month. And the once in October just happens to be Halloween.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's like...
I think the cultists have been greatly exaggerated.
I agree.
To go back for the podcast I've been working on with the Phantom Galaxy, we're actually doing a whole episode about this because I feel like there's a tie... There's maybe a little bit of a tie. I've been reading this couple articles between this clown thing that's going on right now, you know, where everyone's dressing like clowns and it's getting real crazy. And now, you know, people are getting ready to start throwing pies at every clown they see. Lock them up, which is funny because my mom is a clown, like legitimately a clown. That's not a disparaging remark. And growing up, you know, that's what she did. And of course, she views it as a very different thing. But what we're seeing is people are dressing up as clowns, and now we're seeing, you know, we'll never know what Clown Zero was thinking when he put on the costume and went out there. I mean, he could have been trying to sell used cars. We don't really know.
Right.
And now, but Clown 10, who's like threatening children with a machete, is he representative of everything that's happening? You know, in our culture now, with the internet and everything, everyone's looking to like populate this event or, you know, this thing that happens. And in the 80s, it was happening almost out of an anxiety. Greg, if you remember, I was a child in the 80s, but I remember specifically all the stuff involving the Satanists, not just the candy problem with the supposed razor blades, which there was never a documented case. There was one case, and it was a really sad case, where this guy was using the legend of razor blades. He basically poisoned his own children with it and blamed it on. I have to remember, find the citation. I might just be furthering the urban legend steam machine here, but I'm pretty certain that this was an actual case that happened. And of course, it turned out that it wasn't an anonymous razor blade. It was the father using the legend. And I feel like in the 80s, we never really had these documented cases of these occultists out in the woods. We did. I remember even in Dublin, where I grew up, the kind of Dublin Darlington area, behind the Grange, not far from the school, there were a bunch of cats that people had killed. I mean, it was a really gruesome thing.
Wow.
That happened. But I'm not – but it felt like something that happened as a result of this zeitgeist of there are Satanists in the woods. And so you're going to get a group of people that are going to go out and do this thing to perpetuate what's going on. You know, that I don't know how many real – certainly there are people out there doing crazy things all the time. But I felt like every other day – this is back before we had, you know, forwards and Twitter and all this stuff. I felt like every other day the owner of the Olin Mills, you know, the cereal company was coming out and or General Mills. Olin Mills was the photograph.
That's right. Right. I remember General Olin Mills. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a picture. You're standing there smiling in front of a rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
And the General Mills, there were always these rumors that Geraldo just interviewed the head of role of General Mills. And he's admitted that he's a Satanist. So don't eat Cheerios. You know, it was sort of just like, you know, how many Chick Tracks were there of, you know, you're going to lose your soul if you go out on Halloween.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was just a thing that was happening. But when we look back at that, I don't see a lot of documentation that shows that we were in the middle of some high evil time, so to speak.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's a great point. It would have been very interesting, Nathan, if Snopes had been around back then.
Yeah.
I think that's where the tide started to change.
Yes, I agree, because now it is so hard to pull off something like that. And I have to say, this clown phenomenon, dude, to go back to that, it's got to be either the most out-of-control marketing campaign from Stephen King's It movie coming out.
King's already come out and said, cool it, guys. Stop already.
Yes, yes. He has, hasn't he? I thought I saw something about that on Twitter.
Say, clowns are fun for the kids. Please leave it alone.
Yes, yes. And, he certainly doesn't want to, if there is some horrible thing. And look, I want to be very careful. I'm not advocating violence among our audience members. I'm making an observation. I cannot help but think, could be wrong, that the first dad, granddad, uncle, big brother, who may go out and catch up with one of these clowns in the woods and beat the snot out of them, and the dude ends up in a body cast. I just wonder if the clown problem would be solved. Do you know what I mean? Because it's almost like, okay, man, now they mean business.
Right.
You know, and in all honesty, to make a serious point, it reminds me of that was one of my takeaways on 9/11, actually, that – you know, when we're all kind of shocked, oh my word, the first tower, then the second tower, and then the Pentagon. And basically, that was it. Because United, what flight was that? Do you remember the one in Pennsylvania?
93.
Right, because I remember seeing that movie. Almost, by the time the word got out what was happening, I tended to take comfort in this thought that most American citizens were like, yeah, that's done. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not happening again.
Yeah.
You know, the first plane, the second plane, it's just a shocking revelation. And then the moment word gets out, because I remember in the days after 9/11, there was one story. It was probably a mentally ill person was on a flight, cross-country flight, same kind of thing, New York to L.A. Or something like that. And he was kind of calling out crazy things. And I remember it was a news story. These passengers subdued the guy, rolled him up in the carpet, like the little runner carpet, and the plane made an emergency landing. So you kind of learned pretty quickly once people got what was happening here, they took care of business.
Yeah.
And I cannot help but think this ridiculous stuff with these clowns that one of the mothers at my little daughter Ella's dance studio, I overheard talking to another mother this week when I was waiting to pick her up, said she was up with her little girl, who's probably 6 or 7 around Ella's age, till 2 o'clock in the morning the other night because of this clown stuff.
Oh, wow.
Kids are talking about it at school, and it does make you think, all right, man, this needs to stop. But that's my clown commentary. I'm done. We can move back on to Halloween. Had to say something.
Nice.
We have a clown episode coming. So
yes, that's right. Good, good.
We need to really look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away. The Pennywise episode. Yeah.
That's right. I'd say, I think it's probably safe to make a disclaimer now that we probably, you'd try to move away from the clown costumes for Halloween this year, kids.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to get tackled by an overprotective parent.
Because I'm ready. That's right. You show up at my door and you terrify my kids, man. You'll end up getting
your 4-year-old. Yeah. That's how they get you.
That's right.
Come at you in the disguise of children.
It's like, Greg, you're beating up a 6-year-old kid. I told him not to wear that red nose.
You ever see a pastor beat a man like that?
Glory. Oh,
goodness, man. Well, as host, dude, it's up to you. You got to get us back somehow. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you guys this. See that transition there?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
What do you guys think would be your ideal Halloween scenario in terms of, you know, something that you could plan to do? And what do you guys think? You know, Matt Smith last year talked about how, you know, they kind of like to set up camp. He makes hot chocolate for anyone or who comes down, or apple cider, has cookies that he gives away. And for him, that is just one of the great things that he enjoys doing. What would be a scenario that you guys would just love to see in your own homes? I mean, aside from taking the kids out trick-or-treating, because I think that's, you know, that's part of the territory of being a parent, you mm-hmm. know, is taking the kids out and letting them enjoy and experience this. Nathan, let me start with you. What would be kind of an ideal scenario for you to really engage in this sense of community that you were talking about with Halloween?
And I think in a lot of ways we've been sort of, the past couple of years, we've been sort of in a great place to do it. Right now we live in a townhouse, and it's because everyone's so close, it makes it really nice. You can kind of go out in your front yard. Mm-hmm. And we, now that with the children, we get the grandparents, both sets of grandparents will come down, and we'll get some friends and stuff to come over. And like you're talking about with Matt, you can almost kind of set up camp right there. And for us, we just like to throw a party and make a party out of it, because I think, you know, the things I like about Halloween are the imagination, the kind of childlike fun to it.
Yeah.
And it's a time where you can sit out there, and it's not just, we'll take the kids around, but we try to make like cider and hot chocolate and sometimes a vodka infused hot chocolate.
Yes.
Not for the children, of
course. Not for the children.
You know, there's adult out there.
That's
too.
For the children.
And
you can't,
know,
get them to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. We don't want to go too far here. We're already indoors in Halloween.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, throw parties, have some you know, you got your, I think last year we did some chili and potatoes and things like that. It's got its own hazards, but, you know, we do the sauerkraut and the brats and stuff like that. And just kind of have a party and make it an open and inviting thing. And then, you know, we got I'd love to do this. Some of my neighbors would actually, I've got the projector. I should do this. They had this big inflatable like screen, and put their projector out, and they were showing, I mean, not crazy stuff. They were showing like the Munsters and episodes of the Addams Family. And I was thinking about throwing maybe the sheet up this year and doing something similar and running like some, you know, Frankenstein or something fun. And it just make it something, and we feel this way about most holidays for us. Cause I think Greg, I come from a similar place where it's like the holidays here in America, they truly, I think in a lot of ways, have been leached out of anything that might make them spiritual, for good or bad. I mean, even sometimes you're looking at Christmas, you know, that the things we enjoy are really more down to cultural, I think, if we're honest with ourselves.
Sure.
You know, we can still find ways to celebrate the holidays for what they are, but in reality, in a secular sense, a lot of these holidays are arbitrary, in a sense.
Yes.
It's really going to be what we do with them in our heart to some extent. And I feel like to me, that's Halloween. Like, you have people dress up, we take the kids out, but we come back and have a party. And yeah, at some point we're going to watch some scary movies. But my definition of a scary movie is probably different than others. I'm not talking gore and things like that, but, you know, and we can probably talk about movies a little bit later, but something that's a little spooky, that's, and in a lot of cases that's appropriate. You know, my kids, I'm not going to put anything on until after they're in bed that would be, over the top. You know, last night we watched Ernest Scared Stupid to give you an idea of where we are right now.
Yes.
No one was scared, but it sure was stupid.
Yeah.
And, so for us, it's probably the same things are true of a lot of family events or a lot of holidays. Your family is there, we have friends there, and we're trying to show care to anyone that comes across our path. I mean, that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Greg?
Yeah, I like that. I have to say, man, I've probably been too much of a taker on Halloween, because I remember when Matt was sharing that last year. Dude, I just pretty much like to take advantage of what other people have sacrificially done and enjoy it. That's pretty much it.
Feel free to swing by for some chili.
Yes, yes. And Lisa's learned, even the candy buying, she's got to be careful. She hides the candy from me more than the kids. Because if there's big, huge bag of, like, you know, one of those variety packs, yeah, and you got your M&Ms in there and your Snickers and all, dude, it's gone. It's gone. So
you're like laying in a corner.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm laying in
I begged you to hide it better. I've
shocked myself into a diabetic coma, and I'm under the kitchen table shaking, and waiting for it to wear off. But no, she does a great job. Lisa's so good on Halloween. She just kind of tracks what the kids are interested in and starts talking to them about what they want to be in September. And you know, we've already got ideas, and sometimes she'll make something, sometimes we buy something, depending on what the kids want to be and how it can look. So actually, ever since last year with Matt, like, the one thing we bought a fire pit, because I couldn't believe how popular those things have become.
Oh yeah,
I feel like the last two Halloweens I'm like, am I the only person on the planet that doesn't have a fire pit?
Pretty much. They put them out in front of our townhouse. There's a good chance we burned the place down.
I know. It's amazing. There aren't more stories like that, you know, fortunately. But we got one.
It'll be the new urban legend, the deadly fire pit. Right.
whole block went up.
if you get too close to the flame. We're doing that this year. But generally, for us, it's kind of a family night.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law, Scott, and his wife, Jen, come over with their girls. So my kids get to interact with their cousins, and they love it, and they have a great time. But, actually, when Matt was on last year, I thought, man, that is – I mean, like I said, I'm just doing all the taking. I'm walking around eating the king-size candy bars, drinking hot cider. The one dude on the other end of our street always has some adult beverages for the parents, and always has a good selection of craft beer.
Nice.
So for some reason, I always urge my kids to go to that house three times. But
I'll take the Reese's and the Blue Moon.
The Reese's and the Oktoberfest. it's something we've talked about doing, and I really, just being as honest as I know how, we haven't done much, except the one thing we do, we don't get the king size or the full-size candy bars, because we do keep a general budget, but we get good candy.
You're not the people that give out that. You remember that, like, orange and black candy that was like the grossest?
It's like they're imitation Mary Janes.
You get the idea that, like, the day after Halloween, like, the janitor comes in and sweeps up all the leftover stuff on the floor. Yes. Then he sends it out to get wrapped in black.
Yes, that's exactly right. No, we give out the real deal name brand stuff.
Nice.
And we try to make it. You know, when the kids come to the door, we'll comment on the costumes. We'll comment on the parents and – you know, when you heard what Matt Smith does last year, I mean, they set up like an entire station to kind of serve the people. Matt just, he loves the Lord more. but it is, it's something I'm thinking about. I'll say that much.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do the post-Halloween follow-up. Ask me what I did. I'll probably still just take.
Nice. How about you just live cast Halloween with Greg? It'll be, you know, like, are we getting some static interference there? All I hear is chewing.
That's all you'll hear is chewing and gulping.
he'll get home and be glad that you TP'd the house. Yeah. Glad this convenient toilet paper is hanging from the tree.
It'll come in handy, man. It will come in handy for sure.
I thought I'd have to go inside.
I love
that's
it.
That's awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
So, best costumes you've seen, like, over the years, are there any that stand out?
Oh, good question, man.
Yeah. The ones that I tend to remember are, like, the legit Star Wars ones.
Oh.
Like, I remember.
You would, nerd.
Hey, totally admit it.
Yep.
But Joy and I, for whatever reason, we've lived in apartments twice, and then we've lived in the house we're in now. Neither of the apartments would get children. I mean, I'd go out and I'd spend, close to $100 on candy to hand out, expecting, man, all the kids are going to come and hit this place. and we got no kids.
Wow.
And at the end of the night, you're just making sandwiches out of it.
Yeah, pretty, really put, yeah,
can
yeah,
I put this
much.
Hershey bar between these two Reese's cups and just top it off on a Kit Kat?
I'd like to answer that. You can.
Yes, I have seen can. It done before.
Yes, I can testify.
Joy, I'm just going to hit the 40 seconds on the microwave and see what happens to all this stuff.
So we ended up just going over to people's houses so that we could pass out candy. But, you know, as you're in different neighborhoods, one year I remember we were in a townhouse development similar to yours, Nathan, and this guy in a full legit Darth Vader outfit comes walking that. Down with the lightsaber. Sweet. He's got like the light up chess piece that's, you know,
yeah, that
beeping
was me.
And,
yeah. Yeah. like I could fit into a Darth Vader. Yeah. the one part you'd have down is the heavy breathing.
Yeah, that hits me after the first block.
I go out and I look more like Dark Helmet.
Yes, man. Spaceballs.
That's
there we
right.
Go.
So, yeah, I mean, the Star Wars ones, I think for me, are the ones that tend to really – those are the ones that really get into it. And, you know, the stormtroopers that have, like, that tough plastic armoring around them and, you know, the Darth Vader ones. I saw one that was a really cool Yoda one. You know, they did the makeup and the ears and the costume and everything. The child and or adult was about the right height for it too.
Wow.
So, you know, those are the ones that I tend to remember and that I really feel like people get into.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite, dude, this is terrible. Talk about, but we've already pushed the envelope. So why not just throw it right off the edge of the
keep
table?
Keep going.
Was, I saw this online though. I didn't see this in my neighborhood. So I'm okay. Kind of cheating, but might've shown you that picture last year. This father, and it's like 4-year-old son. Remember the dad's
yes.
Dressed up like a bottle of Jack Daniels?
Yes.
And the son is a pack of Marlboros.
Yes.
It is got to be one of the most clever, funny things. Dude, I'd welcome that guy into my living room and say, tell me your life story, man, because I've got to hear this. But that was clever. No, last year there were twins, a boy and a girl, I remember that. No, they were triplets.
Okay.
That's what made it so funny. And they were ketchup, mustard, and relish.
Oh, nice.
And it was cute. The costumes
were... The little kid costumes are always so fun.
They were so cute. They were probably 5 or 6 years old. And that was the cutest thing I've seen. And you could tell, I think the mom made the costumes, and they were good.
Nice.
You know, they were really clever. And I thought, man, who could have a problem with that? That was as cute as could be.
Nathan?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Over the years, to me, it's always like the really off-the-wall costume. No surprise. It sticks in my mind. I mean, you see things and you're really impressed, like when someone put a lot of time into it. Or conversely, when they haven't tried it all.
Yeah.
Like I remember like last year for a kid coming up and he's wearing a yellow T-shirt and he has a piece of cardboard taped, just a little half-inch piece of cardboard taped to his butt. And he's drawn whiskers on his face and he's like, I'm a Pikachu. I was like, yeah, you're also a Pikachu with no candy. Get off the lawn. But I remember a few, it's been several years now. It's probably like about 2000. It was right before I got married. So it's been about 11 years ago. I was at a friend's house and it was in Harford County and we were giving out the candy and you started to get these. It was weird because we were getting kids that were coming up in costumes that were for 2004, 2005 were kind of really eclectic costumes. This one boy comes up and he's got blonde hair going everywhere and he's got this like flannel shirt unbuttoned down to about his like chest and he's like, I'm Rod Stewart. kid is like 8 years old and
that's
I'm like
great.
I'm a little impressed that anyone remembered. Rod Stewart doesn't remember Rod Stewart.
I was gonna say
and, and then not shortly that far behind him, a little kid comes up in like a really little kid, like he must be about 4, in spangled tights with like shoulder pads, and he's carrying a little like white black striped tiger, and he's like, "I'm Siegfried,
oh,
Roy, whichever one didn't get mauled."
Yes.
Yeah, I remember thinking the parents are to blame here. in the 90s, I remember a very bizarre seeing someone dressed up. Where they were dressed up, you remember, they still run them, but those commercials, the I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Somebody was I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, where they were wearing this giant square thing that looked like the floor, and their head was through a hole in this costume, like a frame, and then they had a fake like body, like a scarecrow attached, so it looked like they were laying on the bathroom floor.
Oh, that's hilarious! Like next to
the, and it was, and they even had the blurb that said like I've fallen and I can't get up, and
that is funny.
Stuck with me. Last year, our friend dressed up as the Ghost of Christmas Present, I guess. Ghost of Christmas Present, the big guy with the
wreath. Oh, yeah.
And then he did a repeat performance for Christmas, as Nathan will attest to.
Yes.
But
what was fascinating is he was walking around the neighborhood, and we were – it was interesting. It was almost like one of those episodes of like Conan O'Brien where he sends people out on the street to find out what you really know about things.
Yes.
And so watching everyone try to guess who he was, we got the strangest – someone thought he was Moses.
Okay. Yep.
Somebody, you're like, are you Moses? He's like, no. Someone said, are you Jesus from the future? Which was very mind-boggling.
Future Jesus. Is that like Flashpoint Jesus?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Right. I don't know. It's like, how many are there? Well, the guy that was just here, he's like the the once and future Jesus. And so he comes to another house, and this lady says, I can't get it. Who? Give me a hint. And he says, Charles Dickens. And she says, I never would have guessed. To which he replied, you didn't.
Right.
I don't think anybody ever guessed. So.
Wow. Yeah.
How about favorite costumes that you had yourself? Ooh. I bet Greg made a pretty mean Catwoman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, dude, I was Spider-Man like 3 times. I mean, he was my hero as a kid. I was just obsessed with Spider-Man because my parents would tell you I have this faint memory of being 7 or 8, and they heard this huge crash one night coming from the bathroom because I was hanging from the shower curtain. And though I was a much lighter version of Greg Gutcher back then, I was still not light enough to keep the shower curtain in place. So, like, I tore down the just hanging right on the rod, and that whole thing came crashing down. So I was Spider-Man 3 times.
That's the year I learned they don't give out candy in the hospital.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's hard to trick or treat in a body cast. But the and then one year there's still pictures. I saw this recently where my mother sewed me and my brother costumes where we were baseballs.
I thought you were starting to say that she sewed you together, like you were conjoined.
We were conjoined twins. Yes, we were baseballs, and I'm going to keep this for any younger families. I'll keep it appropriate, but let's just say that some of the adolescents walking the neighborhood.
You were quite a pair.
We were exactly, and we didn't. I don't think my mother ever caught that, but the fact that we were walking. I mean, they were good costumes. She had them nice and stuffed, and she even had the red stitching, to look like the,
At least you didn't have another sibling that was a bat.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly, dude. That was perfect. Yes, and then I think my brother and I, at one point, I was probably like 9, and he was like 13. It was one of his last outings. And then we kind of realized it might be good if we went our separate ways. So I'll just say that. But that was a memorable Halloween, yes.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I can remember several that my mom, would homemake. She did a RoboCop one for me 1 year. And, back when we were poor, that's, what we got was those homemade ones. And those were fun. And I remember those. I remember as I got older.
Cardboard boxes.
Yes.
Yeah. You can make a really good Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Like circa 1985 out of like Kleenex boxes and one big like TV box.
Yes. I remember in high school, there were two in high school that I really liked that I did. One of them was, if you guys remember The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
With Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
So I did.
That was your moody phase, wasn't it?
That was.
Yes, your goth phase.
That's right. Well, my hair was a little bit longer at that point, so I could, do the long hair. I was into martial arts.
Come back from the grave.
That's
for
right.
Candy.
Yes.
What really freaked people out was this crow kept following me around on the street. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, yeah. Dude, I'm walking out of this studio right now.
Wow. So that one, and then 1 year I did the whole, trash bag over the shorts with censored on it. And then, people asked me what I was, and I said, this is just how I sleep.
Yeah.
So
nice.
People got a kick out of that. And then more recently, I did the whole when I was at the liquor store. This got the best reaction ever. I did the whole Clark Kent turning into Superman thing. So I had the Superman shirt underneath.
Nice.
The dress shirt opened up with the glasses, and I had the little curl and slick hair. And
Ben did that exact same thing.
Yes, it was the same year, too.
Yes, that's right. He did the whole great idea. You got your Clark Kent, but you see the Superman shining through. Very clever, man. Yep. Clark's got to get a little love.
That's right. Definitely. Nathan?
We were hobos a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
Which seems weird because I'm pretty sure the like dressing up as a hobo thing was probably about 30 years old already in 1981 or two. But there's a lot of pictures of us as little clowns and hobos. Yeah. And, I look at it now. I'm like, I kind of wore the hobo look a little too well. Yeah.
Dude, every mom loves the hobo costume because it doesn't take much.
I remember around the third graders there, you know, I always wanted to be like a dragon or something. And in my mind, I always had this great, like, it was going to be great. I'd be able to breathe fire and have these great big tarp-like wings that would pop up, you know. But I always kind of looked like Barney or some kind of like misbegotten reject. Yeah. Or, like, Captain Chesapeake or something, you know. It's like, look at that. It's like when he comes down the stairs in A Christmas Story, but a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
My dad used to love making our costumes, and he would always – he got more creative later. So when I was a little older and wasn't dressing up as much, I was kind of spared that. But he would – you know, my siblings would say things like, what's going on back there? Did the dark forces catch up with us?
Burp, that's all.
Oh, there you go, man.
Yeah. Get out of the house. Yeah, that's
right. I would say take it out in the post, but I want the burp left in.
Quality. I remember him dressing one of my siblings up as Frankenstein. I won't mention the sibling because they may listen to this. But and they had tissue boxes for feet, which sounded like a good idea. But it was a particularly rainy, like Halloween. Yeah. The whole thing about there's no shoes under this. So at the end of the night, said sibling has like big soggy Frankenstein feet, and now she's there you go. She's walking around like Frankenstein's monster now because can't lift the feet up because it's so full of water and mud. Great. Eventually, we're driving and we're getting in the car and we're driving from place to place, and you know, finally, we're like, "What is that smell?" And now she's got dog stuff on her feet.
Oh man! She's got
everything from point A to point D on her shoes. You know. At the end of the night, it really looks like you have a, you know, Frank, like she's been stitched together out of human body parts. Yeah. Just take me home, you know.
That's good, man.
A rough time.
That's funny. Well, we are running down on time, but before we go, we wanted to mention some movies. So I'll go ahead and start.
Sure.
And then throw it off to you guys. So one set of movies that have to watch every year on Halloween is The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. Ooh. Brendan Fraser. I love those movies. Those have become a tradition. I started that tradition back in high school when they came out, and I had a huge high school party, and we watched it on Halloween. And ever since then, every Halloween, I've watched those movies. So those two are definitely my favorite Halloween night movies.
Nathan, I love how that was a trilogy and you literally just excised one movie completely from it.
Yeah,
there's only two Mummy movies. I'm like that about a lot of things. There's only one Matrix movie.
As soon as you replace Rachel Wise with another character for the wife, Evie, it doesn't count. So those are definitely my two Halloween night movies that I will watch every single year. And then leading up to it, you know, of course, there are ones that I'll watch. Ernest Scared Stupid. I know Nathan is letting out a sigh over there. Yeah. But I will watch that one.
I'm kind of enjoying it just a little bit. I shouldn't let any of my fellow critics hear that.
Yes, yes.
Young Frankenstein is another one that I will watch at some point in October here just to get in the mood because it's just such a fantastic classic. So those are probably my four tops that I will watch during this time at some point. Nathan, how about you?
go to Greg first. I want to hear because okay. I'll start talking and then the podcast will just end.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, at the risk of really pushing it here, Halloween 1 and 2.
Ooh, dude, nice.
I know I'm pushing it with that, and I recognize convictions abound on this subject. Part of it is I saw him as a kid,
yeah,
and I probably shouldn't have because
we've all been there.
Yeah, I believe I saw them with my brother and his friends when I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been 1980. So the movies were still fairly fresh back then.
Yep.
Do you know, Nathan, yes, when they came out? 70?
78 was Halloween, the original.
Yes.
And 80 or 81 was Halloween 2.
Halloween 2.
Which kind of picks back up on the same night. Yes. And then Halloween just went completely off the rails with like Halloween 3.
Yep.
I think it was like Season of the Witch, where like the exploding like Halloween masks and like, yes, druids. Temple. I mean, it was just nuts. It was just this where they might as well just – he had gone straight to space.
Exactly.
Because it just went crazy. But, yeah, you know, I'll say this. The original Halloween, and they're actually going to – now go from admitting you like it to me promoting it.
Yeah.
But they're doing a screening of it on the 26th down at the Senator in Baltimore,
nice,
which is a great like old-style movie house. And so they'll be running – there's something about that movie that is fascinating to me. And I absolutely dislike, for the most part, slasher movies.
Yes.
I think the slasher genre is something I'm just not interested in. I don't really want to spend an evening watching people get stabbed to pieces. Yeah. That sounds very, I guess, almost, you know, moral repugnant or whatever. But, you know, from the perspective of knee-jerk, like, oh, no. And there are some that are done well. But for the most part, it's tiring. It's bored. I don't really enjoy seeing graphic violence. But the original Halloween, I think it's fair to say that the original Halloween is not particularly graphic. It is not particularly violent. That's not to say that it doesn't have violence in it or even some suggestive material. But I think in an age where Michael Myers routinely kills 150 people in movies these days, I think he strangles one in the original Halloween.
I think it's right.
And there's very little on-screen gore. I remember one time John Carpenter was making the point. He goes, well, there was no explicit violence in Halloween, but I did have an explicit monster in The Thing, you know, like categorizing the difference. Halloween, to me, what's fascinating about it is I really feel like it captures, even though it's an adult horror film, it captures that spooky feeling you were talking about, Greg, earlier, a feeling of what it's like to run around on Halloween night from house to house, but with that kind of feeling of, well, I don't really know these people, and I don't know what's around the next bush or around the next corner. You know, there's a feeling of creepiness, but there's childlike creepiness even to that movie, even though it does eventually evolve into this guy chasing this girl. But it's a very effective movie for what it is, and it's effective for showing less instead of more.
Yes, and what I liked about it, dude, when I – because I had all the same feelings when I watched it younger. I mean, like I said, when I was maybe 13, 14, 15, I could appreciate it more. And then in this internet age – reading about how it was made on a shoestring budget and virtually no money to make at all, it was almost sort of like what, for its time, what Blair Witch became later, this sort of surprise hit. I remember, I think Carpenter in an interview said something, he was shocked when he did this search that no movie named Halloween had ever existed. He almost couldn't believe it. It's like, you're kidding me. There's not a movie called Halloween, which
and I think
is itself original.
It's fascinating because he made that was a typical thing in the 80s. You know, eventually they decided every holiday had to involve a slasher. Like, it's April Fool's Day. It's Mother's Day, you know.
Yes.
And prom night. And they all involved a guy chasing somebody with the pretense of, oh, it's a holiday. But Halloween's probably the only movie where it feels like it's about Halloween. At the same time, it's really this story of Michael Myers chasing, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis through the neighborhood.
Yes. Yes. I think that's true. The other film that I'll mention that's not – it was remade.
I can't defend the sequel, though.
No. I mean, Halloween 1 stands out as a classic, no doubt. The other movie that I remember from 1985, to take you guys back to my – formative years, I was 15, was the original, not the remake a few years ago, the original Fright Night.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Dude, I loved Fright Night, man. The vampire next door and Roddy McDowell pulling out the old cheesy vampire hunter thing, and the kid that basically drafts him against his own wishes to come in and fight. That was wasn't it? Chris Sarandon was that actor.
Chris Sarandon was the vampire.
Yes. Any relation to Susan Sarandon, or just coincidence?
He was her husband.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's where she got the Sarandon from, was from Chris.
I wondered.
And of course,
that.
He's Prince Humperdinck in The Princess Bride, and also Halloween Flash. He's the voice, not the singing voice, but the voice of Jack Skellington in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Which we're going to go see. We're taking Johnny to go see at the BSO on the 30th, on I think Sunday.
Okay.
That Sunday afternoon. So, yeah.
Fright after Night church, was, of course. It was just fun, dude. It was a fun, fun
again,
movie.
You know, actually gorier than Halloween. A little more intense, but goofy and funny and silly. And the Roddy McDowell performance in that movie was so good.
It was excellent. Yeah,
he was channeling Vincent Price and Peter Cushing and all these characters all at the same time. It had like a real affection to it, even though, and the effects, which is kind of what happened later with Evil Dead, it's almost less scary because it's how much the makeup artists are thinking, how much can we get away with?
Like, agreed.
Let's not just have her get vampire fangs. Let's have the face split open to the ear, you know?
Yes, yes.
Let's see what we could do. Is let's have him turn into a bat and then back and get stuck in the middle, you know?
Yes.
Fright Night's a great movie. And what's funny, because if you look at both of those, and in the, you're right, in the 80s, people were like, that was when the outrage of over these horror movies and look at this trash. But I mean, if you look at Halloween, it's essentially an update of Psycho in some in its sensibility. I mean, it's an update of Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
And Fright Night is an update of Rear Window. So it's not like these movies are that far from what would have been considered classics at the same time they're being called trash. And now, of course, they are classics.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Nathan.
I'm going to mention just a couple. Something Wicked This Way Comes. We've talked about it a few times.
Great.
But the Jack Slate movie. From 1983, I think.
83,
and, and Greg's mentioned before, I think that's a fantastic movie. It's just a good movie in general. Yeah. It captures that feeling of October. I don't even think it really takes place on Halloween, but it captures a lot of very interesting feelings and the melancholy I mentioned before. It's also a great story about good versus evil.
Yes.
It has some great themes and some great ideas. It's thought-provoking.
It is.
Jack Clayton, who made that movie in 1983, years and years before, in the 60s, made a movie called The Innocents with Deborah Carr, which was a adaptation of The Turn of the Screw, which is an incredibly creepy ghost story.
Yes.
But that's a fantastic movie. Greg, do you remember many of the TV movies from back in the day, like in the 80s? And do you remember a TV movie called The Midnight Hour?
Oh, it's familiar.
LeVar Burton from Star Trek was in it. Sherry Belafonte. It was a story that took place on Halloween and all these monsters come back to life and run around. No one seems to remember it, but it's on YouTube. I remember seeing that as a kid.
Okay.
And that was kind of a fun one. The Universal movie monsters are always good for us.
Yeah.
They did an animated version of the Halloween Tree, Ray Bradbury's Halloween Tree, which we watch a lot. And my kids have been watching, recently someone showed them Hocus Pocus.
Oh,
with Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Not a classic.
Yeah.
But, so there's a lot of stuff out there. I think we tend to watch a lot of. Hocus Pocus. I don't remember it being very good. There was another one, The Witches, the Jim Henson movie, The Witches.
Oh, right, with who's the dark-haired woman?
Angelica Houston. The lead witch.
Yeah.
I used to watch something as a kid called The Mad Monster Party that had the voices of Boris Karloff and Phyllis Diller, and everything was kind of done with puppets. I think it was another one of those Rankin-Bass sort of.
Okay.
Neat, man. You're taking me back. I'm looking up some of these as you should.
Nice.
Fun.
I got real quiet. I was like, I hit a dead zone.
No. That was me Googling stuff.
The original Night of the Living Dead. Not most of the other stuff, but that's another movie that I think is pretty good.
Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
I think those were all later for me.
Yeah.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space was a favorite. Not to bring the clowns back into
I was going to say. Moratorium on clowns.
Yeah, you're right. How about the Stephen King TV movie of Salem's Lot, Greg?
Yes, I remember that with it was the dude who was in the old 70s show Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, David Saul.
Yes, who played Hutch on that show. And yes. I remember that. Yes, I remember the Salem's
Lot. James Mason. That was incredible. The kid at the window was incredibly creepy.
Yes.
Like the vampire style at the window in the old TV movie. There was another. Do you remember Cat's Eye from the 80s?
Stephen King? Yes, yes.
With the troll that came out of the wall and the cat and the troll had a battle of some sort.
Yes. Gosh, you're really taking me back, man.
There's that movie, the trilogy of terror with the little Zuni doll that came to life and ran about. There's a lot of stuff. Again, a lot of stuff floating around in the old noggin there.
Wow. Wow. Fun time.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, again, you know, just reiterating, this is such a great time, you know, to just in general. I mean, you've got the weather changing. It's nice. It's crisp. You know, the air is just, it's got that little bite to it that just, it's so refreshing whenever you're walking out. You know, you got the smell of burning leaves, burning logs going on in the background, you know, and it's just such a fun time. And, you know, I want to throw this challenge out to, you know, friends of mine who are Christians. You know, if you're on the fence about Halloween, can I encourage you to jump over the fence and just enjoy it?
Look at you, dude.
You know, if you
to
have,
the degree with which you're comfortable.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Right. You know, if you've already got convictions about it, you know,
baby step.
you know, we can sit down and have a conversation about it. But if you're on the fence of it, let me just encourage you to jump over the fence and just enjoy it. Enjoy this day and look at it, because here's the fact of the matter. This is a day that God has given us. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what people say about it. This is a day that God has given us as an opportunity to honor and glorify him. And so let's do that.
Yeah, man.
You don't have to watch Fright Night out on your first
that's
outing.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. You could work up to Fright
that's
Night.
That's right. Start with Ernest
Scared. Start with, like, the worst witch. Charlie, where's the great pumpkin? Charlie?
Exactly. Right. Start with the Peanuts and then work your way up. Yeah. No, I would say that. I mean, Matt, that's what I talk. Dude, I used to be merciless with Matt because mm-hmm. for many years, as we covered last year, he was reluctant. And I remember the Matt I met as a 14, 15-year-old loved Halloween.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he walked a certain journey, got into certain Christian cultures, subcultures. I get it. And I think we're all saying nobody's urging anybody to violate their conscience.
Right.
Because
right.
the conscience is – but I like what you said, Nathan. Look – I think one of the ways to view it is there's a strong case to be made. I think that's what we've done tonight in a very anecdotal way.
Anecdotal.
Yeah. That this is not an evil day.
Yeah.
It is nostalgic. It's childhood. It's fun. It's scary. It's meant to be an enjoyable day.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to feel like you're giving away something big.
Yeah.
So I with you, for those people that need that little extra push that's over right. the cliff, take it to 11.
That's right. That's great. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to sign off now, Greg.
And don't give out the black and orange candy.
That's right. No, yes. do not.
That blesses no one.
And don't give
that
out raisins. Not.
Yeah.
My word, they can eat raisins on other days.
I would take a toothbrush over those orange and black
candies. Oh, dude, I would too. Because a toothbrush won't remove the residue from those candies.
This is going to be like the mini series of podcasts. I know it's so long, but favorite candies before we go?
Ooh.
Or one favorite candy?
Nice. Yeah, I am a longtime Reese's fan.
Pieces or cups?
Cups.
Gotcha.
Longtime Reese's Cup fan.
Boxers or briefs?
Dude.
Boxer briefs.
I'll go there. I mean.
Yeah.
So longtime Reese's Cup fan, but I also really enjoy myself an Almond Joy.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So Almond Joy, I worked kind of close to H Mart, which is like the Asian grocery store here. And this is not an Asian thing, but they carry a candy, which I think is popular in Europe, called Bounty, which is basically, it's like the super upscale version of an Almond Joy. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm going to try that, dude.
I have to bring some up next time.
Yeah. Please do, man. Please do. For me, for the longest time, it was Snickers. I just have always loved a good Snickers bar and love those little fun-size Snickers, although I think it's poorly named. Fun size is king size.
That's right.
That's when it gets fun. Fun when it's a tiny little thing. That ain't fun. Give me a mega candy bar.
Joke.
This is a joke size.
This is a nugget, man. I don't want this. And then in more recent years, I just love Butterfingers, man. Butterfingers. Just everything about them, delish.
Nice.
What about you, Nathan?
Growing up, maybe it was because for a certain period of time in the 80s, we did live with my grandparents. So I had this weird – and I didn't when I was a child, but now I have this weird affection for like what would – it's going to sound very dismissive, but I would consider old people candy.
Yeah.
Which is to say things like Necco wafers. No, I never received Necco wafers.
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking about that when you said that. Yeah,
Necco wafers. Those whorehound drops, the like little like root beer barrels and things like that.
Yeah.
But in that, I've got this freakish like obsession with Chuckles. Do you remember Chuckles?
Oh, yeah. I remember Chuckles.
I mean, it's just a glorified gumdrop.
That's all
I don't know
is.
What's wrong with me.
Yep.
But there's five of them in that little package, and it's like a little promise of joy. You know, it's like a rainbow.
Dude, my children
are now fanatics about them too, and I don't know why. But you can't get them any places. Every once in a while, Walmart now or Walgreens will sell them. And I go in there, and I must look like some kind of nut because I go in and I basically just – I grab the entire, you know, they have them on that little spiral thing, and I just put my hand in the front and the back and then lift it up. And I'm coming up like I'm Chuckles. I don't think they make them in Halloween fun size, Greg.
No, but I've had Chuckles, dude. I also liked you don't see them as much anymore, but the Zagnut. I love
the Zagnut or the Zero Bar.
The Zero Bar, the reverse,
you know,
right?
The
bar,
only place I see the Zero Bar now is if you actually go to the Hershey plant where we still have a couple of these.
Yeah, pull them out of the vault.
Let me dust it off for you.
But as a kid, I always liked getting the wax teeth because they always had – I mean, that stuff tasted like garbage.
It did,
But it would always have the little – back in the 80s, it'd have a dinosaur sticker. I just wanted the dinosaur sticker.
Oh, I remember that.
Yep.
I'd throw the teeth out on the ground and, I don't know, a duck or something probably choked on it. But, you know, those were the kind of the memories. And the only – it was just that peanut butter toffee stuff was the worst. But.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for bringing that up, Nathan. I'm glad we
mentioned that.
Yeah,
man. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know.
Like how can the three of us not decide?
I know.
Say, that's criminal that we hadn't. You saved the whole podcast, dude.
That's right. All right, we're going to go ahead and sign off. So we'll catch you all later, and we just rocked the Casbah.
Really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we, Wayne?